big thank you this morning to Jackie for sharing and ministering in the song, You Say. I love the line where it says, "The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth. In you I find my identity." And that's what I want to share about this morning. I think over the last few months, we've been all out of our routine, and many of us find our worth, our identity, in what we do. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our identity, our worth is not in what we do, but it's who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to remind you about this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the direction your word gives us, and we're called into the kingdom and to live with kingdom principles and purposes. I pray today in reminding ourselves of who we are in you will help us to live better in the kingdom with hope and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you remember, but about 4 years ago, Justin Welby, the leader of the Anglican community within the UK, shared a very personal statement. He had learned that he was an illegitimate child. He was very open about his struggles and about how, as a young man, he had a difficult time, especially around 17, when the man he thought was his father passed away because of alcoholism and abuse of tobacco. He also shared that his mother, who had her own battles with alcoholism, had a brief encounter with Churchill's private secretary. The guy's name is Anthony Montagu Brown. And during that period of time, when he was sharing about the thing that he had just learned, there was lots of photographs up of his father, and the likeness of these two men were uncanny. You really didn't have to ask twice who his dad was. And I'm sure during that period of time, there were those that were probably thinking, this man should not be the head of the Church of England. I'm sure maybe in quiet moments of his own heart, Justin maybe thought, maybe they're right, maybe I shouldn't be. But I want to bring you to God's word today. I want to say this: Jesus Christ, the head of the church, didn't have a conventional birth either. If we go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, and look at the heritage of Christ, we can see that it too was a wee bit of a mess. We read about Abraham. Abraham was a liar. We think of Jacob. Jacob was known as a twister. Rahab was a prostitute. Ruth wasn't even a Jewess. Ruth, in fact, was a Moabite. And then King David, the writer of the Psalms, and especially known for Psalm 23, David was an adulterer and a murderer, and yet all out of this imperfection became the perfect Son of God, who came with grace and mercy to make our lives different. I have every respect for the statement that Justin made at this time. He said this: "The revelation has, of course, been a surprise in my life. But in our marriage, Caroline and I have had far worse. I know that I find who I am in Jesus Christ, not in genetics, and my identity in him never changes." What a powerful testimony. My identity in him never changes. Here's a man who knows who he is in Christ Jesus, because Christ makes us new with him. And it's a story of grace and redemption. And that story is about all of our lives, no matter who we are or where we've been. When Christ comes into our life, he makes us new and different. Welby went on also to say to a group of Zambian young people, "For me, I am who I am because I am in Christ. That's the only thing that gives me identity." And if you have your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that is your identity. Your identity is found in Jesus. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. It's not about the past. It's about who you are now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this scripture, Paul gives us the picture of baptism, where we go down into the death of Christ and we come up into his resurrection life. And when we're in the death, as we go through those waters, we leave the past there and we come up into his new life. Born again of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus was the man who came under the cover of night to see the Lord Jesus because he was ashamed to be identified with him. But the Lord tells him that he needs to be born again of the Spirit of God. And we see when he has this encounter with the Lord Jesus, he's no longer ashamed to be with him, but he walks in the light with the Lord Jesus Christ, leaving his past to know that he has a new future in Jesus. Like Zacchaeus, the man whose identity was so much in greed and finance and money, he finds out that that's not who he really is when he is the Lord Jesus Christ in his life and Jesus is sufficient for him. Zac left his past in the past, and he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find who we are in him when we put our trust in him and we believe what he says about us. And I want to remind you simply this morning about some of the things that God says about us and over us. Away back in Psalm 45 and 11, he says this: "Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is the Lord." We don't need L'Oreal to tell us that we're worth it, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tells us that we have got beauty. Psalm 139 tells us that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made, that there is something within us that is unique. You are unique. You were crafted by the Father the way you are in your uniqueness, because you will reflect many facets of his beauty in yourself. You are who you are in him. And we are told in Jeremiah that we are loved. Jeremiah 31 and 3 tells us that we are loved by him. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us we are special, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We've been created for purpose, back to Jeremiah 29 and 11. We are cared for, Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. How wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ for you and for me. In the book of Daniel 12 and 3, we are told that we are lovely. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, we are told that we are precious because we were bought with a price, and that price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told that we are important because we are chosen. We're called a priesthood, separated unto God, God's special possession. We are forgiven. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as our sin has been removed from us." We are forgiven people. We're a protected people. Psalm 121 tells us that our foot will not slip. He is our guard by day and by night. Yes, our bodies in this world may be harmed, but no one can touch our soul, because our souls belong to the Lord. We are empowered. Philippians 4 and 13 says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are a chosen people. We did not choose him, but he chose us and brought us in to the family of God, as Ephesians 2 and 19 tells us. And I love Isaiah 43 and 1. It says this: "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." The great high God has put his affection upon us, and we are called to be his. Are you glad you're saved this morning? Are you glad that you've been called into the kingdom of God with the purpose of God over your life? Are you glad that you are found in him, Christ Jesus? It doesn't matter where you've been. It's where you're going now in him. It doesn't matter what people think about us. It matters what he declares over our lives. It's not about our start. It's about how we will end in him. Friend, this morning, if you haven't committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time to do so. It's time to give your heart and your mind to Him and learn about who you can be in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has a life and a destiny for you in Him. And this is where our true identity is held. And we just need to be careful. If the pressures of life, like the pressures that we've been going through at this time, that we don't allow this identity to be stolen from us. I don't think the greatest identity thieves just now are groups of people sitting on computer somewhere in the world ringing us up and trying to steal our identity, or trying to steal our passport, to steal our identity. The biggest identity theft is the enemy of your soul, the devil. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the devil comes to kill, steal and destroy, but the Lord comes to give life and life abundantly. As you've already heard this morning from Jeremiah 29, we have been created for purpose. We have been designed in God's plans for our lives to do good for Him, to live a fulfilled life. And that was why Jesus was tempted. That's what the temptation of Christ was all about. He had purpose of God in his heart. And yet the enemy took him into that quiet desert place to try and get him off that purpose. But we know he came through that temptation. He set his face like flint to Jerusalem, that he would go to the cross, that he would die for us to bring us into relationship with him. And as the enemy would try to steal that purpose from him and who he was away from him, so the enemy wants to come to steal our identity and to get us off who we are in Christ and what we're supposed to be doing in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to have this true and wonderful identity with him, to live and be born in him, and to live out his purposes in your life through him. You could never be a Christian, is what the enemy will often say to us. You can never live this life. You're not good enough. Look at the people around you. How could you ever be like them? He's always sowing doubt in us. You're never good enough. You're never going to be able to do this. You'll never be a true follower of Christ. But the devil will never tell us that it is God who has chosen us, that it is God who calls us and God who empowers us to be the best we can be, because he is within us. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil will say to us, if you become a Christian, if you become a follower of Christ, what are you going to do in those moments of hardship? Where are you going to turn to? What can you turn to? Because you can't do this and you can't do that as a Christian. What are you going to turn to be fulfilled? And yet the devil will never tell us that the Holy Spirit is the greatest sense of our joy, that God's Spirit is joy within us, and the Spirit of God can go to the deepest crevices of our heart and our very being that the best things of this world cannot reach. But he can satisfy our souls. If you become a Christian, the enemy will say to you, people will think you're better than them, that you're a holy Joe. People will reject you. And yet that may be true. People may reject you if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we were taught a couple of weeks ago, that when you come to be a follower of Jesus, you're adopted into the family of Christ. And not only does God become our Father, but we're joint heirs with the Son. And we have a big family, a community of God's people around about us. And he adopts us lock, stock and barrel into his family, warts and all, and does a work of refurbishment and change within our lives to be more like the person of Jesus. He even adopts us into the family, sometimes with those masks we wear. Do you remember a few years ago, there was a program on TV about, or not a program, an advertisement TV about our mental health, and this young fella who was like the life of the party, and yet when he went into his own bathroom, he tore off the mask that he was wearing on his face to show the real person, the real him, and the negative thoughts that he was having. God adopts us all the way we are, but with that plan and that purpose to change us into the image of His Son. God wants us to find our identity in Him and to be what He says we are in Him. And you know how we find that, friends? We find that by studying God's Word, by knowing God's Word, and taking Him at His Word, doing what He says, and becoming what He says. Here's the third thing that I want to speak about this morning. We don't need to have an identity crisis when we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear a lot about that today, about identity crisis. But the Bible tells us who we are in Christ Jesus. And our identity is not defined by who we are in relationship with in this earth. It is not defined in our children's need of us. It's not defined by what money we have in the bank, where we live, or what car we drive. It's not defined by our occupation. It's not even defined by the service we do for Jesus or the ministry role that we perform. And it is certainly not defined about what other people think about us and what other people say about us. Like the song that we heard this morning, it's about what He says over us, what He has declared in His written word about us. That is what defines us. And that is why we do not need to be in a crisis about who we are, because we stand upon the written word of God. I heard a story about a guy here from Northern Ireland who went to a certain school, and at that school, one of the teachers often would say to him, "You're never going to amount to anything." That guy today is a very prominent businessman, and he has done really, really well for himself. And the chain of restaurants that he owns, he has named them by the name of the teacher that constantly said to him, "You will never amount to anything." In the purpose that when that teacher would go into any UK restaurant and see the name, he would remember what he said over that young boy's life. Today, we need to hear what Jesus is saying over our lives and to believe what He's saying, not what the world says, not those inner voices, not those that are around our lives that have maybe spoke negatively over us. We need to hear what Jesus is speaking over our lives. And I want to bring you to one scripture to remind you about this, that it's not about our past. It's about who we are in Jesus today, and it's all about our future. And I want to remind you this morning about, no matter how negative your background has been, there is always hope in Jesus to live free, to live with His best plan for your life, to be all who He wants you to be. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And this is what God's word says. "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." My goodness, that is harsh. That sounds harsh. That sounds such a cutoff point. But listen to the next verse, verse 11. "And that is what some of you were." Isn't that amazing? That is what some of you were. You see, there is hope for every single one of us, because we all fall into that category somewhere. "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." In other words, God takes all of us and He cleans us up. He washes us from our sin. He then sanctifies us. He sets us apart, a special chosen people called out to be His very own, a special people called to be His own. And then He justifies us, just as if we had never sinned. And among all the other things that we've learned this morning, being called, being loved, being beautiful in God, all of these things, God is saying to us today, you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified in Him. We are a blessed people. And we need to take upon ourselves what the Lord has spoken over us, not what other people say about us, but what the Lord is saying for us today. Let your identity be fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody steal your identity. The enemy wants to steal your identity. Don't allow him. You keep listening to God's word, practicing God's word, speaking God's word over you, and believing what he says. No other voices, but only the voice of God. And friends, live to the best of who you can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow yourself to fall into that crisis, because in him you live, you move, and you have your being. It's all in him. Believe who he says you are. The Lord bless you.